This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So last year, it may actually have been the very last night of Ramadan. Let me step over. I leaned over to our brother Shahid in that corner over there before Taraweeh. And I said to him that if Allah permits, I have to speak about the seerah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam next Ramadan. And the reason for this actually is because a person that should be commended for his honesty and his humility said to me, you know, you and preachers in general often, you know, quote snapshots or anecdotes from the Prophet's life. And I have no mental image. Like, where do I place that in the whole picture? And that is extremely important. It's a huge part of you internalizing the Quran. The Quran, if you read it carefully, it expects you to know certain things about the circumstances in which it landed, right? It expects you to have a degree of background information about the life events of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And so I'm going to, inshallah, dedicate my reminders this month to the events in order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life that were major events cited in the Quran. We're going to stop at them in linear order so you can develop for yourself some context for his life story as it pertains to the Quran, a mind map, if you will. And I will try, it's a little bit of an undertaking, but I'm going to try to always do two more things alongside this context, which is to provide you with a reflection on surety, why we're sure Islam is true because of this incident in the Prophet's life, and also a reflection on purity, a lesson we can take from that incident or event or circumstance in the Prophet's life sallallahu alayhi wasallam that can help us purify our souls. So context of the seerah in progression, inshallah, and then a means of solidifying our faith each night more and more, and a means of purifying our souls also more and more. So here goes, inshallah. The first ayah actually has to begin before the Prophet's life alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah azza wa jal cites to us that Ibrahim alayhi salam said, and we heard this at the end of Taraweeh last night, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا, O Allah, send for them a messenger from among them, from their midst, one of them, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, that will recite to them your verses, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and teach them the book and the wisdom, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purify them, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, you can certainly do that. You are the most mighty, you are the most wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dua, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked once, tell us a little bit about your roots, your origins, he said, أَنَا دَعْوَةُ أَبِي إِبْرَاهِيمُ, I am the dua, meaning the result of the dua, the supplication of my father Abraham. This dua. وَبُشْرَى عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمُ, and I am the glad tidings that Jesus, peace be upon him, gave to the world. وَرَأَتْ أُمِّي حِينَ حَمَلَتْ بِي نُورًا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا أَضَاءَتْ لَهُ قُصُورُ الشَّامِ, and when my mother began carrying me, when she became pregnant with me, she saw, Allah showed her a vision in her dream, she saw a light emerge from her that brightened, illuminated the palaces of the east, of greater Syria, meaning where the Roman Empire was at the time. Interestingly, so surety by the way, interestingly, the Bible itself, Old Testament, New Testament, they make mention of this. Despite the corruption that has happened throughout the ages, despite all the distortion, Allah deemed it that those concepts are still there. Like in the Bible today, you will find that God promised Abraham that he would accept his prayer and he would bless his children, and including the children of Hajar alayhi salam, meaning Ismail alayhi salam is the son of Hajar, through which the Prophet Muhammad came. He said, I will make of him, Ismail alayhi salam's children, a great nation. Which of course only really happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, very important for context. He had Ismail and he had Ishaq. Ishaq had Ya'qub. Ya'qub was Israel. That's his name. Israel meant the great worshipper. And Banu Israel, his 12 tribes, became the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelite tribes. And among them were so many prophets and kings that ended with who? Jesus, the son of Mary. And Jesus, the son of Mary, the last of the prophets of the Israelites, gave glad tidings. We have it in Surah As-Saff, and it exists in the Bible until today, despite all the changes, that there is still one more prophet. The greatest prophet, the Paraclete, the one that was well-renowned, well-acclaimed. And by the way, the name Muhammad means the one that's praised everywhere, right? He is the acclaimed prophet. This is even not just in the Quran and Surah As-Saff. It even exists in biblical scripture today. Now come back now to the lineage of Ismail alayhi salam, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Approximately 600 years after Jesus, peace be upon him, came our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So these are all indications of the truthfulness of his prophethood. But you know what else is an indication? If you put the Bible aside and you put the Muslims who already believe in the Quran aside for a second, Ibrahim alayhi salam brought his family to Mecca, set them there in the middle of nowhere, built the Kaaba there. Allah causes Zamzam to erupt from there. All of this for nothing? Historically on its own, it's a huge indicant that something huge was about to happen in that region. Like until today, you want to see a miracle? Just go look at the well of Zamzam. What do you mean an underground water source that for thousands of years is providing water for endless millions of people? That's just something haphazard. Look at the Kaaba and the scene of the unity of the worship of God at the Kaaba. Nothing like it on the face of the earth. Was the Kaaba built? Now rewind. Just so some idol worshippers can hang out there? No way. It's obviously a huge thing about to happen. So biblically, historically, this all reinforces that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was about to be sent, and that he is the great messenger that Allah himself endorsed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's just in the sense of surety and the lineages and how that all adds up. In these last 3-4 minutes, a reflection on purity. How can we purify our hearts in light of this story? I'll call your attention to two elements. The first of them, Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua, and Allah accepted this dua, but even though he accepted it, it did not materialize. It didn't show up on the ground until 2,000 years later. So don't ever stop making dua, right? It's on Allah's timing, not yours, right? Allah will give you. It's not like he doesn't have. It's not like he doesn't like to give. It's not like he breaks promises. All of those are not possible. That means he's going to give you. But don't get impatient with your dua. Remember Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua and when Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he said to us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ أَوْ يَتَحَسَّرْ. One of you will continue to be responded to by Allah so long as they don't get hasty and so long as they don't lose hope. And then he gave an example and he says, يَقُولُ دَعَوْتُ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. You say, I made dua, didn't get any answers. So that's the first reflection. The dua is answered, just trust Allah's timing. And think of Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua. The second of them, very quickly, is that this pattern that you heard in the ayah, oh Allah, Allah sends a prophet to recite to them the verses and to purify them and to teach them the book and the wisdom, it's always in this order. Always recite verses, purify them, teach them. Okay? Except in the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it's kind of switched. It says recite verses, that's the same, but then it says teach them, and then it says purify them at the end. Why? Because when he was asking for a human messenger to be sent to the world, the last job of the messenger is to purify. It's not really in his hands, right? He teaches you, but only Allah can purify you. Whereas when Allah was saying throughout the Quran, I sent to you my messenger to give you these verses, and so that I can purify you with these verses. It was purity before teaching. And so the lesson there is you need to realize you can't purify yourself this Ramadan, or before it or after it. Only Allah can purify you, right? Don't get so focused on your flaws and your attempts to fix your flaws. Maybe you're trying too hard. Maybe you need to zone out of your flaws and your diseases and focus a little better on a Shafi, the healer, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's better at it than you. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he taught us to say, and look this dua up later tonight and learn it, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha, O Allah, you grant my soul its piety, wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha, and purify it, you are the best one to purify it, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha, you are its master, the master of my soul, you are its guardian, the guardian of my soul. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakallahu khair.